Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We wanted to get an update and try and understand what is going on in Taiwan. What is actually the reason for Pelosi visiting the area at this moment? It used to be some years ago when we were young that people would go to Taiwan to buy knockoffs. That was the place to go. I'm pretty sure that that isn't Nancy Pelosi's reason. Kobus van Staden, senior researcher at Foreign Policy Program, South African Institute of International Affairs. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. So this trip, it must have been known by the United States that this was going to be quite provocative, as far as China is concerned, and yet this was the decision that was made. What's this trip all about?
You know, the trip. I think a lot of people are unsure exactly why the timing is happening right now. This is very unfortunate timing, because everything in China is very tense at the moment. As far as I understand, it was, you know, the visit was intended as a gesture, particularly, you know, kind of to China that Taiwan won't be in the same situation as Ukraine. You know, but even so, you know, kind of there was a lot of different ways of making that gesture, and this was a particularly kind of inflammatory way, I think.
So it is almost deliberately designed then to provoke.
Yes, and it puts President Biden in a difficult position. He made clear beforehand that he'd prefer it that Speaker Pelosi didn't go. But of course he has no formal power over her. You know, she's an independent player within the US government, and of course the number three official in the US government, which is why China essentially like treated it as a state visit to Taiwan, you know, kind of which is very inflammatory on their side.
So then why would she have gone? You know, this if the president is asking her not to, and it is going to cause tensions in an already difficult relationship as the U.S. has with China, why on earth would she have chosen to do this? It seems like rebellion in some way, doesn't it?
Well, you know, like she has her own kind of foreign policy agenda, and she's a long time, you know, kind of advocate for human rights issues in Asia. And, you know, so she was, for example, well known for unfurling a banner on Tiananmen Square shortly after the Tiananmen Square incident in 1990. Yeah. So she has a strong kind of like agenda on kind of human rights and governance and so on in relation to China. And she's a big China hawk and a big China critic. So, you know, so she kind of like exercised her own prerogative. But yeah, like it's, you know, kind of it is an indication that it seems like in the U.S. government, many actors are pulling in different directions. There doesn't seem to be a very coherent kind of coordinated approach between all of them.
What do we know about her relationship with Joe Biden?
You know, they're kind of high level colleagues. They're both obviously Democrats. You know, they're veterans that go back all the way, you know, kind of like a few decades. So I don't think there's any kind of feud between them. You know, kind of I think they just have different agendas.
Right. And the reaction, what can we expect? We're starting to see China flexing its military muscles. We're seeing different military exercises taking place. Is it likely to end there, or can this escalate?
Well, the danger of it escalating is always there. The danger was particularly high when she was in Taiwan. She has subsequently left, but of course Taiwan isn't leaving, and the People's Republic of China have been really moving lots of kind of troops and so on. They're doing all of these military exercises around the island. So I think this is a lot of people have been worried about this particular thing. Is that, you know, it's making a gesture is one thing, but then once she leaves, you know, it tends to give China the kind of license to put the squeeze on Taiwan, you know, and we'll have to see kind of what the U.S.'s reaction will be subsequently.
Can you just give us a little bit of context here? Why does China consider Taiwan to be part of its main country?
Well, you know, Taiwan had an indigenous population, but it also, it's close to China, and for hundreds of years, it's been very, very kind of strong back and forth between Taiwan and China, to the extent that, that Taiwan was a part of China for certain sections in history. And since, subsequently to that, it was colonized by European forces, and then after the First World War by Japan. Mm. So, you know, kind of China, so China frames this similarly to Hong Kong in the sense that, you know, kind of they see it as an inalienable part of China that's been taken away through colonialism, mm. In what they call the century of humiliation. So, from the Chinese perspective, like Taiwan is a part of China, it's always been a part of China, and they plan to get it back. In fact, they have a timeline to get it back before 2049, which is the 100th anniversary of the victory of the People's of the creation of the People's Republic of China. So, you know, so from their perspective, it's a renegade province. So you know, kind of an analogy would be, you know, obviously everyone thinks of Hawaii as just simply a part of the US. Mm. But there is a Hawaii independence movement with an indigenous population. So imagine what the US reaction would be if there were foreign dignitaries visiting the independence movement in Hawaii. Mm. Like, mm. you know, kind of it would create an awkward situation. So this is, you know, this isn't 100% the same. Taiwan has its own government. It's a self-governing country. It's been for a long time. And any kind of reunification will be a really big change for Taiwan. But at the same time, from the Chinese perspective, they see it as a part of China that's been taken away by colonialists, and they want it back.
It's really fascinating. And Jonathan, listening in from Shanghai, says, I can tell you that everybody here is glued to their TV. It feels like man landing on the moon when everybody's watching the same thing. And there's a tremendous amount of tension here. This is what Jonathan is saying. And the one observation that I've made on one of my visits to China was the sense of national pride is really important. When I was there in one of my trips, there were the tensions over some islands around Japan, and there was this feeling that, well, you know, Japan had committed some terrible atrocities towards China and towards Chinese people during the Second World War, and that has never been dealt with. And there was the sense that there needs to be some form of justice seen and balance restored. And I imagine it's a similar approach to Taiwan. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it is. And you know, and also, you know, within Taiwan, there's a lot of opinions back and forth about Taiwanese independence. You know, obviously, I think many Taiwanese people like do want an independent and separate Taiwan. But at the same time, these kind of historical traumas are very big, very much part of East Asian history, and particularly this kind of history of colonial meddling from Western countries. So it's a very inflamed situation, and you know, kind of, and that's why I think, you know, kind of like making a gesture in that situation is one thing, but like everyone is wondering what Pelosi and the US's kind of long game is. You know, kind of what are they going to be doing around this issue next year, this time, for example? You know, kind of like because on the Chinese side, they will still be angry about this next year. So, you know, so it's one of those things of like the kind of timeline seems to be a little bit out of whack.
So do you think anything positive is achieved by this visit?
Well, you know, kind of it's a powerful gesture for Taiwan independence. So depending on what one thinks about Taiwan independence, you know, kind of that is is a movement forward. I think in the short term it makes cooperation between the US and China on a host of other issues really difficult. So, you know, kind of like these are, for example, everyone is desperately waiting for more coordination between the US and China on climate change, for example. They're the world's two largest emitters. A deal between them on climate change would be a game changer, but we're not seeing that kind of movement, you know, going to be the next while. And similar on a whole bunch of other issues. It's going to make cooperation between these massive superpowers a lot harder.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And it's a story that, of course, will continue over some time as China continues to push for the reunification of Taiwan. And Taiwan, of course, from everything that we're seeing, resisting it.